Today, I'm going to be preaching from 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Peter gives us something here in the scripture that's important for all of us to grab a hold of. I've shared with you before, I grew up in the Boy Scouts. I was in the Scouts from age 8 until age 19 or so. I am an Eagle Scout. I hold vigil honor in the Order of the Arrow. I have been camping in my career. I have been camping almost every weekend as a Boy Scout, it seemed like. But it was once a month, sometimes twice a month, we would go out camping. Long-term trips, many different places. And one of the things that I learned beyond anything else was be prepared for any situation. Be prepared and be ready. And to this day, I often carry way too much stuff with me. I nowadays carry what's called a man purse. Okay? I mean, some of you are not going to look favorably upon that. You know what? I don't care. I'm old enough that I don't get embarrassed about things anymore. And I carry that because, one, I have to carry an EpiPen with me. I have to carry emergency medication with me because of my allergies. I carry it because it has my knife in it, my flashlight. It has my tools. You can ask Guy. Guy's watch me pull tools out of my pocket, and he just kind of looks at me and go, where did that come from? And I carry all those things around with me when I go places because I never know when I might need them. Probably the only thing I don't have that maybe I do need to put in there is I don't have any way to start a fire. I mean, you got to be able to start a fire. Amen. I do have an emergency blanket in case I need an emergency blanket. Okay. Those only weigh about an ounce. They're a one-use thing. And I'll tell you the funniest time I ever used one that I really missed the opportunity. I was down running on the New River Trail, and it was about 30 degrees, 35 degrees that day. I was trying to run a great length that I did not make. When I finished running that day, about 20-mile-an-hour winds, when I finished running, I had 3 miles to walk back to my car. And I was soaking wet. And I pulled out my emergency blanket, which looks like a piece of aluminum foil, and I wrapped it around me. And after a little bit, I had to open it up because I was getting way too hot. And as I walked down the trail with this piece of what looked like aluminum foil wrapped around me, here comes this young couple walking the other direction. They did everything they could not to look at me. They were like, we don't know who this flake is, this fruit is, wrapped in a piece of aluminum foil walking down the trail today. And the only thing I missed is I should have looked at him and said, I hope you got this because the aliens just around the corner will get you if you don't. I didn't think of that till later. I should have said that. And I'm of the nature to say that. And as I told you, I don't get embarrassed anymore. I don't care that they had a funny story to tell. Because I'm going to tell you right now, that emergency blanket saved me that day from getting hypothermia. Because I was soaking wet, and it was just the wind chill factor was very low. And to walk 3 miles that way would have put me in a very bad condition without that emergency blanket. So I've used it once. Okay, they're one use. I got another one. They only cost about a quarter. They're wonderful things to carry with you in case you need it. But Peter also tells us here that we need to be prepared. And what I have learned by walking with Christians in 30 years of ministry is most people are not prepared to do what Peter asked us to do. And I really wonder why. Peter shares that someone might give you a hard time for following Jesus. I think the truth is someone will. But I want to emphasize the fact that the way the Greek words this whole thing is Peter is saying someone might. Someone possibly could give you a hard time for following Jesus. I have had a hard time for following Jesus in my life. People have said things to me about, well, you've got a crutch. And I'm like, well, I'm glad I do. Because I limp a whole lot less with it. I don't mind feeding back to folks and talking to folks about it, but people will give you a hard time. The first thing that Peter says is, if this happens, if someone gives you a hard time for following Jesus, first do not fear, but realize that Christ is Lord. Amen? Christ is Lord. And I think of this very, very deeply, and that's one of the things that I think I learned through experiencing God, is that I had made a decision in my life to make Christ my Savior. But I had never made the decision to make Christ my Lord. To me, that was two different decisions that happened about 10 years apart. Some of you may have made that decision at the same time. Some of you have made the decision that Christ is your Savior, but not your Lord. And I want to tell you, there's a big difference between those two things. A big difference. When I know that Christ is Lord, I have no fear about what somebody's going to do to me. So what if they're going to kill me? I know that my Lord will take care of me, and I will live for all eternity with my Lord. Amen? Amen? There is no doubt in my mind. Now, come to the day of somebody says you're going to die soon, that might make me think about some things a little bit differently, but I know that no matter what, Christ is my Lord. And Christ, when Christ asks me to do something because of that, I can't say no, because Christ is always looking out for my best interest, is always doing things to bring me blessings, is always doing things to help me grow spiritually. So why would I tell the Lord, no, I'm not going to do that, when the Lord asked me to do something? Really, the way I have it in my mind right now is that I can never say no, Lord. And if I do, that means I need to spend some time talking to the Lord about this. Because if Jesus is my Lord, why would I ever want to say no? I know all the answers. It's outside my comfort zone. It's too difficult. It's too hard. It'll put me in a place I really don't want to be. But what did I say? Christ only wants the best for you. Christ only wants to bring you blessings. Christ only wants to see you grow spiritually. Christ will never ask you to do anything to harm you, to hurt you. Christ wants you to grow spiritually. So why would I ever say no? That's what it means to make Christ as Lord. And if Christ is Lord, guess what? You can't do anything to me. Okay, you could kill me. But guess what? Christ is still Lord. Why should I fear you? Why should I fear anything if Christ is Lord? But then next, Peter says, be prepared to share an answer with them about your hope in Jesus Christ. Be prepared to share an answer with them. And this is where I think most Christians just shy away and walk away and clam up and never say anything. Some people never say anything because I don't know all the answers. Guess what? I've been studying the Bible deeply for over 30 years. I don't know all the answers. I do not know all the answers. I still study it every day of my life. But I do not know all the answers. For those of you that think going to seminary solves all the issues and all the problems, seminary taught me all the questions I didn't know how to answer. It showed me more fields and more areas that I didn't even have a clue about. But Peter says, be prepared to share an answer. Do you have hope in Jesus Christ? I guess nobody here does. Do you have hope in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
By the way, in case you were wondering, I think sermons should be participatory. Okay? One of the things I loved about going to one of the churches in South Hill is it was participatory. And I loved it. It was fantastic. It was wonderful. Those people wanted me to be there every Sunday. I remember the lady coming to me. I went there to speak one night of revival. And the lady came to me and she said, you can come back every Sunday. And I said, there's a problem. I can't. If you invite me back, I can make arrangements to come. No, you can show up any Sunday you want. And I said, ma'am, I don't think you understand what I'm trying to say. I lead worship service at the church down the street. And if I want a paycheck, I got to show up there. And she looked at me and she said, oh, I get what you're saying now. But they were wonderful people. I loved being with them. I had so much fun with them. Because they believed that sermons were participatory. They didn't think that they were sitting there on their hands, not participating. Are you prepared to give an answer? Do you have hope in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Are you prepared to give an answer?
Yes.
That didn't sound as positive as the one before it, did it? What I heard was, well, yes, I will, maybe, if I have to. You should be prepared to give an answer. That answer should contain three things. I'm going to make it so easy for you. The first thing it should contain, what was your life like before you came to meet Jesus Christ? What was it like? Terrible would be a step up from where mine was. What was your life like? The second thing is you should be able to share, how did you meet Jesus Christ? What happened? What went on? How did you meet Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior and Lord? And the third part of your answer should be, what difference has it made? Now, you want me to make it easier? Your story shouldn't last longer than 5 minutes. You know why? Because most people are only going to give you 5 minutes. They will be polite for 5 minutes before they try to shut you down. Especially if they don't want to hear about salvation. If you have hope in Jesus Christ, you should have prepared already a 5-minute answer. Already. Here's what my life was like before Christ. And you guys have heard me tell my testimony. That's the fancy word. And when I talk about giving a testimony, people might go, oh no, I can't do that. Is that not what Peter says? Be prepared, be ready to share a word about your hope in Jesus Christ. I had no hope. I had none. I was trying to make it in a life on my own, and I went down all the wrong paths, and I've heard, you guys have heard me, I dried up from alcohol twice in my life, and I hope never to dry up a third time. That doesn't mean I'm still drinking, okay? I haven't drank since my oldest son wasn't even a year old yet, and he's 30-something right now. 37 is what he'll be next week. That's how many years it's been since I've drank. But my life was horrible. It was ruined. It was bad. And you've heard me talk about the three guys that just showed love to me over and over and over again. Until I got to the point that I went with them to revival one night in a Pentecostal holiness church. They were speaking in tongues and it scared me. But the evangelist gave an invitation to come forward and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I came forward and accepted Christ as my Savior. And it has made all the difference in my life. Now I'm happy. Now I have blessings and I can see them. God has helped me to raise 3 wonderful kids and have a wonderful wife and have an incredible blessing by the number of folks that I have meet and that I see and that I talk with. And all I had to do was say, I need you, Jesus Christ, in my life. We have another surprise today, by the way. You know what? Only you know how you met Jesus Christ. Only you know how that happens. You heard my story in less than 5 minutes. Can you give an answer in less than 5 minutes? Only you know how you met Jesus Christ. I can't tell your story. Only you can. And I'm here to tell you this. Someone needs to hear your story. It could make an eternal difference for them. Someone needs to hear your story. I tell my story, and sometimes people say, well, I've never had problems with alcohol or all those other problems you had. I've always had a good life, and I've always gone to church. And guess what? There are people that go to church all the time that are not saved and that don't know Jesus Christ. It happens in every church. They may be members of the church, but they're not Christians. Somebody may need to hear your story. Your story is just as important as every other story out there. Are you prepared to give your story? Because I tell you right now, there's somebody living in our community that needs to hear your story. There is somebody living in our community that needs to hear your story. Are you able to tell the story about how you met Christ and what difference it has made? Are you able to tell that story? Because we need people telling that story in this community. If you want some help with it, I'll be glad to sit down and help you with it. I didn't go into great detail on my story. You don't need to. I don't have to disclose everything. Can you tell your story about how you met Christ? You're going to pass by somebody this week that needs to hear your story. Not mine, yours. About how you met Christ and what hope you have in Christ. Are you prepared to give an answer? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because we know that we need you. We know that we need to walk much deeper with you and that we need to be ready. So, Lord, we pray that you would guide us to know how to give an answer, to be prepared and to be ready, and to be able to walk in a way that other people could come to know about you. Please, Lord, guide us to open our mouths and tell our stories that someone else may come to know you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.